Roberts.
Thank you, Ted. Obviously, he's run out of interesting facts about me, so he's talking about you. So that's good. I was always a bit concerned what he might dredge up out of the past, but thankfully he's run out of things. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, I really am getting used to that. That's nice. Thank you, Mr. Kim. I like that. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to continue with our series looking at the race that we're in and how to run this race. Now, in some ways, the race that we run is a bit like what you're going through this week. When you all first arrived on Sunday, you were all really excited about all the wonderful things you were going to do this week. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
But now you've hit Wednesday, you're all starting to get a bit what? Tired. It's like, oh, I'm a bit weary, dragging your feet along to line call, pushing yourself up off the ground to do your push-ups, trying to get along to your classes. And that's the way it often is with our life, you know. Sometimes in our Christian experience, in our life, we go through times when we're really excited, and then we go through times when it seems a little bit of a drag, you know. We just seem a bit weary and we don't have that same enthusiasm that we once had. You know, it's times like that that we need more than ever before to slow down and take a look at where we're going and what we're doing. I want you all just to listen really carefully right now. Be very quiet. I'm going to tell you something very, very important. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Just come close. People are stupid. Have you ever heard that before? As people, we are so stupid. The Bible says in your memory verses for this week, what does it say? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. And then it says, wherefore, what? Do you spend your money for that which is? For that which is not bread. You know, there are so many good things that we can put our energy and our enthusiasm into, but so often, what do? We waste it on foolishness. So many times we buy things with our limited resources that are wasted. Isn't that right? Now, maybe for most of you, you're too young to be able to look back and regret some of the decisions you've made. When you get to my age, you start to look back and think, why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why did I spend my time, my money, my resources? It's because, as I just said, so often we are stupid. You and I, in and of ourselves, have no common sense. We do not really understand where we're going or what's going on in life, and you and I need help. You might be sitting there thinking, now, Mr. Roberts, I'm intelligent. I get straight A's in my schooling. And I don't really care. I think that's good that you get straight A's in your schooling, but it doesn't really make you intelligent. There's a lot of people out there that get very good grades, but really don't make good decisions. And this week, when you're having this encounter with God at YD Camp, Outdoor Camp 2010, God wants you not to worry about so much about your academics as about where your heart is. Whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you making decisions that will please Him and prepare you for heaven? Or are you making decisions that just please you or your friends or the world? In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says, all ye like what?
Sheep
have gone astray. Everyone has turned his own way. I'm going to tell you a story. I grew up on a farm in Australia, in the sheep and wheat belt. On our farm, we had about just under 3,000 acres, and we used to grow about 1,400 acres of wheat every year, and we had Pole Hereford cattle. Now, you probably don't even know what that is, but they're the most beautiful cattle in the world, and we used to grow them, raise them, and they would grow while they were with us, and we would have these beautiful little white-faced calves, and we would train them and show them and all those fun things. But they didn't make as much money as my father would like, and so we had to succumb to the money-making thing of buying sheep. Now, everyone, when we think of sheep, what do you think of? You think of lambs. Now, don't say baby lambs, because there's no such thing as a baby lamb. Okay? A lamb is a baby sheep. But we used to have lambs and we used to have sheep, and we had about 5,000 sheep, I think, at one stage on our little farm. And we would love to go down and we would love to look for lambs that had no mothers. Okay? Because if they had no mothers, we were allowed to bring them home. And so we would go down, my brother and I, and we would search through the paddocks looking for lambs that didn't have mothers. And we'd wander around and see a lamb by itself, and we'd say, "That lamb hasn't got a mother." And we'd grab it and take it home, and Dad would say, "Are you sure it didn't have a mother?" And we'd be like, "We're sure, Dad." We waited at least 35 seconds, and no mother came near it. And so we would have about 30 lambs that we would spread between my sister and my brother and myself, and we would feed them every day, and their little tails would waggle, and they would grow up, and every time we would come out, we would have this a fenced enclosure of some mesh in our yard with some star poles, star pickets, and we would be able to move that around the yard every day and give them extra new grass spots. But we'd come out the front door of our house and all the lambs would rush over to that side and they would wiggle their little tails and they would bleat and they would be wanting their milk. And so we'd get the bottles and we'd give them some milk and they would be very happy. But you know, as they got a bit older, they got bigger and bigger and they had to be let back out in the flock with the rest of the sheep because they were too big and they no longer needed the milk. So we would send them back out to the flock with the sheep and we would cry our tears, you know, that little children do when we have to give up our lambs. And then we'd be back to normal. We'd be getting the sheep in on the motorbikes. We'd go down, get the sheep in with the dogs, push them all in, push them through the gates, into the yards to draft them up and send some off to market, etc. And sometimes when we were bringing them in, we'd be standing at the back yelling and screaming, you know, as you do with sheep, pushing them in. And we'd suddenly feel something nudge behind us. And you'd look around, and what would be there? All our pet lambs. They just, as soon as they saw us, we'd move over this side and yell at these sheep, "Get in there, you know, come on." And there behind us would be our little lambs. We'd move over here, and there they'd run behind us, just like little dogs. They were so sweet. But I must tell you, as much as we loved our lambs, sheep are like people. They don't have many brains. And we would bring our flock of sheep up from the back paddock. We'd go around on the motorbikes. We'd pull all the flock together. We'd start pushing them towards the gates. We had two very large double gates that we would open at the side of the paddock to push them into where the yard system was. We had a whole system of yards to sort them all out. We had these big double gates. So it was four gates wide. We would open up completely to push the sheep through. We'd bring them up on the motorbike and the sheep would start moving towards the gates. And then all of a sudden, as we're pushing and pushing and going back and forwards and the dogs are barking, the sheep would just stop. And they'd start to move back and forwards in front of that huge double gate. And we'd be like, "What is wrong with those stupid sheep?" And we'd be pushing and pushing and nothing would happen. They'd be running. It's just like there was a wall there and they wouldn't go through. And then one very intelligent sheep would go down beside the end of the yards and find a small hole in the fence. And he would decide that that was the place to go through. So he would start pushing through that hole in the fence. And what do you think the rest of the sheep would do? Then all the sheep decided, "Oh, that's where we want to go too." And so they would start pushing through that fence and we'd have to try and get around and push them out before they ripped the whole fence apart. I tell you, sheep have no brains. And when I used to read in the Bible that we are like sheep, I used to think, God, that isn't fair. That's not very nice at all, because I knew what sheep were really like. People so often think sheep are so sweet, but these were crazy animals. But then as I've gotten older, and I've watched both myself and some of the silly decisions I've made, some of the things where I have allowed my friends to lead me into places where I know I shouldn't go, I've allowed my peers to convince me to do things that I knew I shouldn't do, I knew that there was a pathway for me. I knew my parents had told me and taught me and shown me what I should be doing with my life. But I was foolish like a sheep, and I wanted to do my own thing and go my own way. And so I followed the crazy sheep that was going through the hole in the fence and heading out in the wrong direction. So often, as we're growing up, we make the same mistakes. But you know, friends, tonight, God is asking you, don't be foolish like a sheep. Be a wise sheep. Our little lambs, they knew who we were. Everywhere we went, they went. When we went through the big gate, do you think they went off with the other sheep? No. When all the other sheep were gone, as soon as we opened the gates to let them out, the others took off. Where were our pets? They were right behind us. We had to actually take them out physically and put them out in the paddock and close the gate before they got back in, because they wanted to be with us. Where all the others just went wherever the rest of the flock went. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, if you've got your Bibles, turn there with me. John chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do what? And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You see, young disciples, all of us, in and of ourselves, left alone, we are as crazy as sheep. And we will follow whatever comes by. No matter how crazy it might be, we'll be off in this direction, then back in this direction, then over in that direction. We'll never know where we're going or what we're doing. But if we learn to hear the voice of our true shepherd, if we learn through Bible study, through prayer, through witnessing, to understand and know the voice of God, then when we hear all these other voices, will we follow them? No, we won't. We will have eyes and ears for one voice and one person only, and that's Jesus. And when Jesus goes over to this side of the room, what will we do? We'll go with him. And when Jesus moves over here, where will we go? And when we look up and say, "I'm not sure what to do," we'll say, "Jesus, what do you want me to do?" And what he says, we will do. Friends, that is being a wise sheep, not one of the foolish ones. You know, years ago, an old pastor friend of ours told us about sheep in the Middle East. Because growing up in Australia, we had sheep stations, so we had always had thousands of sheep. But in the Middle East, and it wasn't until I went to Jordan and Israel and these countries, and I was able to see for myself, and you have shepherds with a small flock of sheep, and he knows every single one of them by name, and he calls them. He makes a noise, and they all get up, and they follow him. So different to us on the motorbikes. You know, we used to have to chase ours and push them in. He would stand up, he would call, and they would go. And it opened my eyes, and I thought, that is what sheep really should be like. That is what God really wants us to be. See, it's not because being stupid means you can never be anything else. But it's when we recognize our need, when we recognize that in and of myself, I can't do it. And so we come to Jesus. We come for help. Then he can do something with us. Then we become like those little lambs that love to follow their master. And so the question tonight, young disciples, is, who are you following? Are you following the sheep that happens to be nearest you? Are you following the sheep that has the nicest looking wool? Are you following the sheep that makes the most noise? Or are you following the shepherd? The question that comes to you tonight, my dear young friends, is learn to follow the shepherd. While you are here this week, in this beautiful location, away from all the distractions and the things of regular life, when you have this wonderful opportunity, attune your ears to the voice of the one who really loves you, the one who knows how to get you from here to eternity, and no one can pluck you out of his hand, the true shepherd. Let us pray. Father in heaven tonight, we thank you that although we really are so foolish, that in and of ourselves we have nothing, but you have seen fit to come and call us into your flock, into your fold. Father, please give us the wisdom to know your voice. As we study your word together, as we work together, as we play together, as we do all these things this week, may we learn to discern and know your voice, so that we will not follow those around us. We will not follow the lights and the glitter and the glamour, but we will follow that voice that leads us to eternal life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.